Today's daf in Masechet Ketuvot, brought to you from Eretz HaKodesh, is Daf Dalet. And just to bring us up to date, remember that we've been talking about the difference between the situation of a sakona and a place where there was an eines. And if there's an eines, then we said we could actually change when it is that we're going to be doing the wedding, and we were wondering what would that be referring to. So one situation that we had where we may lose the chuppah, the wedding seuda rather, for the chuppah, because of the fact that the army is coming to town and they may take things away and there won't be any wedding. And then the second thing that the Gemara introduced, which we know is a very profound, remember that the Gemara is structured in an absolutely ingenious, multi-leveled way, and that in reality, as Tosfos is omed on, although I don't know how much he means it to be a profound insight into the whole sugya, but the reality is that it's essential to introduce here the in the context of the shakdu and the interrelationship of the wedding period to life in general. Here is the place where we introduce the idea that the concept of the Seuda and the Shivas Yemei HaMishneh has a din of a yontiv for those people. And amazingly, it is even doche the avelus of a parent. Now, that's an amazing thing. In the same way that if a loved one dies during yontiv, there is no Shiva. If the father or the mother died, there is no Shiva for the Chosin and Kala. But more amazingly, as the Gemara introduces there, ostensibly just as a solution to why we would have to have a Seuda that would be earlier, because otherwise we're going to lose out on the Seuda. So we said maybe what it's talking about over there is that the father or mother died. And as we said yesterday, that we need the mother around for the Kala to be able to take care of her wedding preparations, make her beautiful, and having all of the things that are necessary for a woman to prepare for a wedding. And we're talking about the father of the chosin in terms of his making the wedding hall and all of this. Fine. In any event, meanwhile, as Tosis points out, this halacha is actually a halacha that we find as a din in other places, that we compare the idea of chosin vekala, we compare to the dinim of the moadim, because we have exactly the same thing when it comes to re'iyat hanigaim, because we give the chosin kol shiva, and we do not paskin a din of a nega, in the same way that we wouldn't do during the yomim tovim, which we darshan from a pasuk, yesh yom shataro'eh, v'yesh yom shiataro'eh. That's benogeya negoim. Now that actually leads us to another issue which we need to think about. And that is, in this case, not only are we saying that in the event that the, so to speak, holiday already began, we're talking about a personal holiday of the chosin and the kala already began, but even in the event that a parent suffers a heart attack at the wedding, so that we think, okay, you could be docha the wedding. You haven't gotten yet to the chuppah and so on, so put off the wedding. We also put off the funeral. We don't put off the wedding. And we put off the funeral till the point where they can already sleep together. Only then do we go ahead and bury the mace. And since at that point the holiday has already began, so then there's no shiva. And the shiva is put off exactly as if it were a yantav. The shiva begins only after the regal. Now that's an amazing halacha, and it raises a bit of an issue, which is, according to the sheet of the Rambam and the Rif, remember that the avelut, we're not talking about the aninut is a different issue, but the avelut of the first day of avelut is a d'oraisa. And therefore the question is, how could a regel, so to speak, which is entirely d'rabbanan, why do we say it's entirely d'rabbanan? Because, as we're going to get into later on, the makor of the halacha of the Shivas Yemei HaMishneh, albeit is a very ancient makor, according to the Yerushalmi, Moshe Rabbeinu was the one who was metaken Shivat Yemei HaMishneh. Tosis brings this in Brochas. And how could it be that nonetheless, I don't care how early it is, but it's still a Durabanan, how is that concept Durabanan doche the diaraisa of the mitzvah of Avelos? Now, because of this, there's a Ran which is very problematic. The Ran answers that even though it says over there that there's no Shiva, but the first day the Chosin cannot go ahead and do things that are acts of Simcha, because then he's being Doche the Avelos B'Yadayim. And the only explanation for how we could do this is that Yesh Koach Bidei Chachamim LaKor Davar Min HaTorah, but that's only B'Sheva Al Ta'aseh, that's only passively. So how do we allow the Chosin to go dancing and so on and so forth? He's not allowed to dance, which, as you can see, is very difficult to believe. I mean, the Rambam, whose shita this is, makes no such distinction. He says that the Pashtun says that the Chosin is noyeg in all of the dinim of Simcha and so on, which is really, I mean, the Ran, you could see, is very dochuk. So how would you explain it? So there are other possibilities that maybe, I think, personally, no, I'll tell you what I think personally. Okay. But maybe the idea over here is that there is a rush that says that there's a din of Simcha to a chosan for the one day. That's the rush of Svara. And maybe that's why it would be Deicha. But okay, that's not so pasha that we would be going according to this Svara. So, I mean, there are a couple of more simple approaches. The simplest approach is that the Avelos, the idea of Avelos, is by definition an actual Sheval Tasa, in a sense. In other words, the Torah gave you a mitzvah to go ahead and to keep Avelut, but when you're not keeping Avelut, that is ipso facto a passive act, not an active act. And therefore, it's not that you're being oiker the din of Avelut. You're just not keep. In other words, that Avelut is not an iser. It's a mitzvah. Okay, there's a reason that the Divrei Yecheskel suggests that the whole point of Avelut is that you have a mitzvah and you're being doche that mitzvah. That's all. But even if you would do something actively, you're just being mevatel that mitzvah. Now, there is, I believe, another approach which is possible. And that approach is that we find a concept of a takana derabbanan creating a situation which then affects the deraisa. So we have many situations like that. Obviously, when it comes to momentous, if something doesn't have any value, the Rabbanan, so then you can understand that would affect the Diyaraisa. If the Rabbanan were metaken, that something has to be burnt, so then it would still be begetter michtas ksusin shiure, and so on. So what if the Rabbanan, in having been metaken, the Rabbanan over here possibly meaning Moshe Rabbeinu, but it's important for us to recognize that it doesn't have any more meaning just because it's Moshe Rabbeinu as opposed to Rabbi Akiva. It's all still the Rabbanan. So but the very fact that the Rabbanan were mitaken a simcha means that the mechanism of the Chias Avelos on Yontav is ipso facto applied, because Avelos is not chal b'sha'at simchato. Maybe we would learn that out of the din of Tzorat, that yesh yom shataro er, possibly, which Tosis compares the two. I haven't seen any Pirushim that suggests such a thing, but I think it would be a worthwhile direction to think about. But in any event, we have the Gemara setting up this very important idea. And as we've mentioned, there's a much deeper facet to this idea, which we're going to be seeing throughout the Masechet. And that is the surprising interrelationship of death and marriage. No snide comments. And that interrelationship is really very shocking as it comes out through the Masechet. But first of all, here's the first meeting that we've had. Shiv'at Yimei HaMishteh versus the Shiv'at Yimei Avelut. But what's more striking is that the dinim of the Shivat Yimei HaMishneh and the dinim of the Shivat Yimei HaAvilut are so similar that it cannot be coincidental. There are Sheva Brochas that are set for an Aval, Sheva Brochas at the Sheva Brochas. There's a din of Panim Chadashot, which is Bechayev view these Brochas for a Chosen Mekala. There's a din of Panim Chadashot that are Mechayev dinim and Avelas, as we had back in Moed Katan, and many other strange interconnections. And so, therefore, what we're talking about, I must remind you, goes back to the source of the entire idea of marriage. Where do we learn out marriage from? Buying a grave. Kicha, kicha, mistei Ephron, right? Okay, so then that means that these are not just incidental connections that we have over here, but rather there is something about the derech of the development of life, which in the deeper sense, we just got out of when it comes from the dinim of Yibun, where we understand that the Esek Bichlal in marriage and in reproduction is fundamentally an interrelationship with death itself. In other words, what we are doing in creating new generations is moving on, so that we're now engaged in creating a replacement for our own lives. And that's the idea part of the dor-dor. That's the dachaf for people to reproduce on a personal level. They want to leave something of themselves behind. And the idea of oneself behind, as it relates both to Yibum and to Pru'urvu, and therefore, as Tosis pointed out yesterday, to the whole idea of your B'les Mitzvah, is the idea of Gilgul. It's a Galgal Ba'olam, so that life itself, the interrelationship between the Re'im Ahuvim of Gan Eden that we're going to be talking about later, and the Gezerah of mortality of Gan Eden, the two are deeply interrelated. And of course, it was only through Adam HaRishon's marriage, so to speak, that we ended up dying in the first place, right? So this was the entire structure of the Eitz Hadas, and the chait, which was nigram, all of it has to do with wine, women. I don't know about the song, but over here, Benogea de Simcha Sachupa, it's wine, women, and song all the way. So, okay, this is something to keep in mind. And therefore, what appears to be a very, very tangential issue, which is what would be the ones that we're referring to, that we're changing the word to ones instead of to sakana, maybe it's a reference to the death of a parent and so on. This is not tangential. It's one of these fako-tangentials that the Gemara is full of. Okay, so anyway, that's where we're holding today. And we got up to yesterday the Dafka Aviv Shel Chatan or Ima Shel Kala, and let's continue from there. So Omar Raf from Bar Papa Omar Rav Chista. There's also the question over here whether the food is salvageable. So Lo Shana Lo Shalona Ela Shenatan Mayim Agabi Basar. What we're talking about over here is that you cannot put off the wedding without ruining the Su'udah, because we're talking about where you already were soaking the meat, and now that means that you can't sell it anymore because it's going to spoil. And you've got to sell it instantly. How are you going to sell it instantly? So we're going to have to throw it out if we don't cook it for the wedding now. Remember, there's no freezers available. But if you didn't, lonatan mayim agabi basar, so then you should be able to sell it, and you don't do a dichoy of a funeral because of that, so then you should actually do the burial first. Oh, my Rav, now hold on a minute. You have to realize that in a really big city, in a krach, so there, you can always find people to buy anything, absolutely anything. You just put it up on the internet, within 2 minutes, you got a sale. And therefore, Alpha Pishinatan Mayim Agabi Basar, you get a special deal. All these last-minute people who want to take off to Italy this morning, if you get to the airport fast enough, you get a ticket for only $25. Great. Okay. So we'll give you the meat with, yeah, see, Dvora caught the reference. So we've got an opportunity to sell the meat anyway, even if you would have put the water on the meat, Ms. Dobbin. And Rav Papa says, and if you're in a little town, So then the din would apply even if you hadn't put water on. Now you're going to sell that kind of meat in a small village where you prepared enough for all of the people that are going to be coming in from all, you're going to be able to sell that even if it's completely fresh and you did not put it. Wait a minute. So between the two, Rav Chisda turns out to be irrelevant. I don't understand. You're saying in a big city, Rav Chisda is not relevant because you could always sell. And in a small village, Rav Chisda is not relevant because you can't sell it anyway, whether you put it into the water or not. So what is Rav Chisda referring to? So El Rav Chisda Hechi Mashkachasla. So what is the reference of Rav Chisda? No, listen, these are outliers. When we're talking about a large town, we're talking about a small village, those are outliers on either end. Rav Chisda is talking about the entire middle. That's the point. Take a place like Mata Mechasia, right? Now, Mata Mechasia, I mean, it's a big town, but it certainly is not the kind of place where you'll be able to sell something instantly. So it's a lot larger than a little village, but it's certainly much smaller than a central financial place. So that's the kind of thing, and most places are like that. And therefore, Stosis explains, Rav Chisda wants to talk about the majority of places. And so he chose this, because otherwise you would have been constrained to say, well, the Mishnah is only, I mean, the Halacha is only talking about in a case where it was a small village or it was a giant city. He didn't want to say that. He's just talking about a normal case. Therefore, he says, the difference would be whether you still can sell, get rid of the food. Okay, very good. Tani Gavasid Rav Chisda. And in fact, we have a braita that spells that out. Because in introducing this halacha about avelut, so what it says over there is, in the event that you already had baked the bread, so now what are you going to do with it? It's going to spoil by tomorrow. This is not the USA where the bread consists of preservatives. In those days, or here in Israel, where they have actual bread. So then by tomorrow, it was kaput. Or tivchot tavuach, you already checked everything. His wine was already mixed with water. Forget it. It's going to get wrecked. You put the water on the buser, and now you can't sell it. Why does it say that? Because of Rav Chisda, right? Exactly. And then suddenly, the father of the chassan has a heart attack. The mother of the kala has a heart attack. Machnisina ta mate lecheder, take the mate out of the room and the show must go on. And then boel bilat mitzvah uporesh. He has to consummate that marriage. Then you do the kvura. Then there's no avelut for the next 7 days. Noeg shivat yumei amishteh, v'achakach noeg shivat yumei avelut. But during all of those days, which means 14 days, during all of those days, now this is halacha that we're going to have to go into and understand what this is referring to. The chosen has to sleep with a bunch of guys around, and the kala sleeps with a bunch of girls around, to make sure that they don't get together. And the same thing would be true if the kala becomes anida after getting into the chuppah. So he has got to sleep with the guys, she has to sleep with the girls. And in the event that this occurred and that the kala actually became an avela, nonetheless, ein lo nitach shitin min hakala kol shloshim yom, for 30 days, we will not tell the kala not to do whatever she wants to do to make herself look beautiful, even though usually we put all kinds of limitations on hair treatments and so on. Not in this case, because the kala has to be beautiful. And benkach u benkach, now whether we're talking about any case, whether there was some kind of terrible event like this, or whether they just had never slept together, lo yivol, the first time that he's going to sleep with his new kala, it should not be on a Friday night. Lo b'erev Shabbat, v'lo b'matzei Shabbat, and therefore, why, we have no idea. We'll talk about soon when we go back to examine it. Now, let's take a look at this stuff about the avelut. Now, you're telling me that he has to sleep with the guys, and she has to sleep with the girls. that proves what Rabbi Yochanan was saying, because Rabbi Yochanan says that even though ein avelut b'moed, so as we know, we have this sugin moed katan, even though during the moed are no dinim of avelut, that's only public dinim. But when it comes to what you do in private, that's called dvarim shebitzina'ah. So dvarim shebitzina'ah, those are noheg. Dvarim shebitzina'ah noheg, which means that even in that case, no one will realize that you're acting like an avel. So if you're going to be sleeping with your wife, you know, and you don't, specifically because you're an avel, nobody's going to know that it's because you're an avel. And therefore, since it's nobody's business, so in that case, you do keep avelut in these circumstances. Now, that's what it seems to be saying over here, exactly what Rabbi Yochanan said. Because why during this private Yom Tov, in which we're saying there is no avelut, nonetheless, the chosen has to sleep with people that are going to prevent him from sleeping with his wife? How do you explain that? Clearly, because Dvarim Shel Tzina Noheg. Dorash Rav Yossi Prei the Rav Mishmei the Rav. Now, wait a minute. Wait a minute. Whoever is such a thing? What do you mean? You're telling me that Avelim are not allowed to be in the bedroom together? This is a special halacha. We're talking about over here, Lo Shanu Ela Shelo Ba'al. We're talking about over here where all of this happened and he did not have a chance to consummate the marriage. So now this guy is like, it's very difficult to control him, you know? So there, it's Tokif Yitzre. He's very turned on to his new wife. We don't trust him. So because of that, we make sure that we separate them. Avo Ba'al, once he had already slept with her, so then Ishto Yishenaimo. So then you can sleep with her. Now, with her, what does that mean? Sleep with her. Is that literally sex? Is that in the same room? Is it the same bed? In the same house? I mean, what? This is not clear, but we're going to talk about this. So that's what Rabbi Yosef wants to say. Says the Gemara, that's ridiculous. I understand. The Braita says, Beferish Bo'el Bilat Mitzvah. What are you telling me only if he wasn't Bo'el? It says Beferish that we are talking about that he was Ba'al Bilat Mitzvah. And nonetheless, the Braita continues to say, Hu Yoshein Bein Anashim V'Yoshein Bein Anashim. How could Rav say that we're talking about a case where he was not Ba'al? If the Braita says Beferish, he was Ba'al. No, Rava wasn't referring to the case. You thought Rava was talking about this case, about the Avel. Rava was talking about the case where said that if Parsa Nida on the way to the Chuppah, so that then we don't allow him to sleep in the same room as his wife, who is a Nida. So Rava says, now, wait a minute, you can always sleep together with a wife who's a Nida. But only in this case, because of the fact that you never had relations with her until now. So over there, we're worried that you're going to get turned on to her and maybe be over even on Nidas. But normally, we don't have that problem. Mashenke, when it comes to Avelut, Avelut, people are not like, they're not going to take it all that seriously. I mean, a Nida, my God, the guy's going to go and get Chayev and Isser Kares, Chas V'Shalom. So, okay, but still, we got to be careful in a case where he never slept with her before. But for an Avel, the guy says, oh, you know, okay, we can be make a little bit. It's a Drabbanan thing. It's an emotional thing, you know. And there, we don't trust him. So that's why Rava was making the distinction, Dafka, by the case of the Nida. But you're right, the Braita was talking about where he actually had relations with her. And nonetheless, we're Chayshesh that he is still going to sleep with her. Now, this still is rather outrageous because we don't know of any halacha that prevents an avel or an avela from being alone together. So, okay, we're going to have to get into that. But the problem is that the lashon of the Braisa is v'chein impirsa nida. I don't know what's going on with Akiva this morning, but he certainly doesn't seem to be concentrating particularly. If he thinks that we don't know, we know. doesn't it say v'chein, which seems to mean, and the same circumstances, that is to say, just like by the case of the Avel, where it says he was Baal, V'chein pirsa nida in the event that he was Baal. No? I mean, isn't that, that's how I understood it. No. It just means, and the same deal of needing to sleep with the men and with the girls and not together would be true in the event that pirsa ishto nida, but lo Baal. So then, hu yoshen ben anashim, ishto yoshen ben anashim. I mean, you're expected to understand that yourself. I mean, for heaven's sakes, everybody knows that there's no such halacha that every time a woman gets her period, you have to bring people into the house and sleep in separate bedrooms. And so, nobody heard of such a thing. So wait a minute. So in other words, you're telling us that when it comes to the question of being over an iser nida, so then people are going to be very nervous, and we're not worried that they would do such a thing unless it's like a very intensely sexual moment. So it's like he's never slept with her before. She's coming into the chuppah. He's all turned on, and so on and so forth. But otherwise, we don't have to worry about that. But when it comes to avelut, then we do have to worry about it. That's what you're saying. So in other words, you're telling me that people view avelut as being not so chomer, and because of that, if they already were intimate with each other, so then we can trust them, right? In other words, we can't trust them. But with Nida, we can't trust them. That's what you're saying. The problem is that Rabbi Yitzchak Bar Chanina quotes Rav Huna as saying that whatever a woman does normally for her husband, this means that she is b'chuyevet to do for her husband, then Anida does for her husband as well, except for things that are meant to be loving activities. So believe it or not, women used to actually do this kind of stuff, you know. So she's going to pour him his drinks, you know, bezigas hakos. She's not going to tell him to make her coffee. She's going to make him coffee, right? And it's such this amazing story of the Gra, in which the Gra stayed by this guy's house. This is like an unbelievable story. This was when he was on his way to Eretz Yisrael that time, and he had to go. He made this very mysterious detour, which is a lot of information. But anyways, he stayed by this guy's house for a week. And at the end of that week, this person was like a big Talmud Chacham, a big tzaddik, so he asked the Gra, when the Gra was leaving, if the Gra could tell him if there's anything that he was doing wrong in his life, because such an opportunity to get tochacha from the Gra. What did the Gra feel about his lifestyle? So the Gra says, listen, I must say, there was only one thing that disturbed me about the way that you live, and that is that you make coffee for your wife in the morning. But in the end, the guy told him an amazing story about him and his wife and how this woman, he had gone off and married somebody else after that she thought they were going to get married, and she didn't want to get married anybody else. And anyway, 20 years later, she came back to him, his wife died, and he felt that he owed her a cup of coffee in the morning. Oh, in that case, the Gra says, okay, so then I approve of the coffee. But anyway, so we have this halacha of mozeget lo'atako. So a nida should not be the one who's mezeget hakosh. She should not make his bed. This is referring to, as Tosis points out over here, not putting on a bedspread and the pillows and so on. That's nothing intimate about that. But we're talking about, you know, the sheets and making it pretty from underneath. And believe it or not, yes, indeed, what would a woman do for a man but wash his face, hands, and feet? You know, so that she cannot do for her husband during her nidot. But when it comes to avelut, it says, afal pi shamru ein adam reshay lachuf et ishto liyot kochelet v'liyot pokeset. So even though if a woman is in mourning for a parent, it is not right for a man to say, well, you know, I didn't expect you to walk around looking like you're miserable in my house. You're miserable, no good. Nick, you sit there and get yourself all prettied up for me. But my daddy just died. I don't give a hang. No, you can't do that. So you don't force her to do such thing. However, be'emet amru. Now, there's a question exactly what kochelet and pokeset is. And we know kochelet is shadow, eyeshadow. But there's big machlokas, and Rashi is Soser himself. We talked about this many times back in Moed Katan and in Shabbos, What exactly is pokeset? Is it the application of rouge? Is it parting the hair? Is it braiding the hair? We've seen this. Rashi contradicts himself here in Ketuvot as well, as Tosis points out. But in any event, whatever it is, be'emet amru, that nonetheless, despite the fact that we can't tell her to do something that will violate in her eyes her emotional state, mozeget lo atakos, she can actually make the coffee for him, make the bed, and wash his hands and feet, and we are not concerned that this is going to end up bringing them to be over on the Isser of sleeping together during Avelut. Now, doesn't that show that people are more makpid about the dinim of Avelut than they are the dinim of Nida, and they're more likely to be Nichshalim in the Nida than they are in Avelut? And over here, you're saying it's exactly the opposite. I don't understand. How do we read that? No, come on, man. We're talking about two different situations over here. Everybody agrees that, of course, Nida is more choshev in people's eyes than Avelus is. But the difference is, who is the Avel? That's the question. So remember, in the Braita, we were talking about where the male is the Avel. So over there, we need to be worried that in Avelut, he is going to get turned on. He is going to end up sleeping with her, even though he's not supposed to. But over here, what we just talked about, what were we talking about? We started off with her being an Avela. A husband should not insist that his wife do things that are privying herself up when she is an Avela. And that's a whole different situation. It's in that context that we said that she can still wash him and so on. Yes, that we said, but that's because he's the one that's going to get turned on, and she's the one who's going to say, well, you drop dead and leave me alone. I'm in the middle of mourning. So therefore, we're not chayshish in that case. He is more likely to get turned on to the point that he will ignore the avelut than she is. Furthermore, she is much more emotionally sensitive than he is. So to say that a man is going to ignore the death of a loved one in order to have sex, that's not so strange. But to say that a woman who is more deeply emotionally affected, that is strange. So therefore, we're talking about two different things. When it comes to her avelut, then, in fact, we're less worried. Well, I understand. How can you say it's talking about when he is an Avel if it says Beferish in the story that we're talking about over here, if either the father of the Chosan died or the mother of the Kala died? It says either way. So what are you trying to give me this story that we're talking about over here about Avelut today and not Avelut? Then that something is wrong. No. Listen, there's a whole list of stuff here, right? The business about putting off the funeral and Shiva Shibaya Mishnah and Bobil. There's a whole long list of things. Now you're asking me, and the last words that say that we have to separate them, it wasn't referring to that, for heaven's sakes. It was referring to 90% of the brisa. If the mother of the Kala dies, put off the funeral. Bobilas mitzvah. The Shiva doesn't start. Is that still valid? Yes. So you're telling me, but doesn't it say they have to sleep in separate rooms? That part wasn't referring to the issue of the mother of the Kala. It was referring to the part of the father of the Chassan. That's all. So it's just that last piece. Yeah, I don't know. I just don't accept this whole approach. Says the Gemara, you're telling me that there's this fundamental distinction between his Avelut and her Avelut, and yet I know. I mean, I'll show you a brisa that makes it clear that that's not true. Take a look at this brisa. Here we're talking about somebody's father-in-law dies or somebody's mother-in-law dies. As we said before, that he cannot ask his wife and insist that she should pretty herself up. Rather, the exact opposite is true. If it's a father or mother of his wife, then he has to actually be an Avel himself. Elokofe mitato v'noheg ima avelut. He acts as if he is an Avel. And the same thing is true in the inverse. If her father-in-law or her mother-in-law, meaning the, over here, the husband's father or mother died, then she is not allowed to make herself beautiful. She has to act as if she is an Avela. Now, over here, we do not see any difference between the chosen, I shouldn't say the chosen, the male or the female, when it comes to the dinim of Avelut. And here they're both in exactly the same situation. I mean, if there was such a difference that you're claiming between where he is an Avel and she is an Avel, I mean, don't you think it should have said that if the father-in-law or mother-in-law of her, meaning his father, his mother, died, why didn't the Medrash, the Braisa say, and then they have to sleep apart? It doesn't say that. So apparently, there is no such distinction. Well, no, the truth is, it's missing. But you have to put it in there. Tanay, insert into that part of the Braisa that's talking about his being an Avel, Hu yashen beina anashim, v'ishto yashena beina anashim. What do you mean? Insert, for God's sake. It says v'chein. Now, why would it say v'chein? V'chein means, and the same thing is true in the inverse where her father-in-law died or her mother-in-law died. I mean, you want to tell me that there's a difference. You don't start off saying v'chein. Well, v'chein just means the part about the eyeshadow and stuff. It wasn't referring to v'chein in the same way. Excuse me, but the Braisa said that if the husband, father, or mother died, it says imo, that she does the dinim of avelot imo, with him. What do you mean with him? Last time I heard imo meant, you know, they're sitting in the same bed together. Imo means imo bamita. I don't give a, she's sleeping with him in the same bed, so obviously they're allowed to sleep together. To be alone together, if they're even allowed to share the bed, right? There are those who say that when it says the bed, it doesn't mean literally the same bed, because that, in fact, we do paskin is osir if there are no avelus, and we osir, even wearing pajamas, we osir being in the same bed, but it means in the same bedroom. So, okay, that's fine, but it certainly is mashma that you don't have to sleep in two different bedrooms with the guys and the girls around to make sure that you don't get together. No. Emo doesn't mean anything like that, for heaven's sakes. You're taking it out of context. Remember that this bright is introducing a very important new halacha, which we didn't talk about before, which has a great deal to do with the chashivas of marriage itself. And that is that there's this din of honoring to the extent of treating the death of a parent in law the same as the death as one's own parent, both from her side and from his side. Now, that is a tremendous, tremendous additional element that makes marriage very serious. And that is part of our overall understanding of the nature of the interrelationship that we're discussing over here in terms of Shaktu, and this follows along with all of these issues, that it's part of the chiyuv within a marriage. Once we're talking about something chas v'chalila happening at the chuppah or right before the marriage, at any point you should know an in-law is like a parent, but not literally. And therefore it says the word imo, meaning while she is together with him. If she goes visiting her own parents, she doesn't act like an avela. But if she's in the house with her husband and he knows the way she's acting, she acts as if she is an avela out of respect and emotional identification and empathy. And therefore, that's part of the chiyuv. That's what it means. So emo means get a, like a babayit. This is the same way that Reb Chiya said to his son, and Rav said to Chia, his son, after his son's father-in-law died, so the Mechutin died. So he told to his son, Chia, that when you're together with your wife, Be'apa, in front of her, you act out as if you're an Avel, out of respect and empathy. But when you're not in her presence, it's not Nogea, Lotinogaveluta, and you should not, it's Badafka not correct, do not act out avelut, because the idea over here is that you are trying to show in her presence the whole idea, not because you're really saying it's the same as being your parent. Rav Ashi goes back to the original question. Okay, so what we said was that when Rava said his pshat, he said that even though the Braita puts together the dinim of nidais and the dinim of avelut, right? So it seems to be saying that even in the event that they are already were intimate with each other, that he's not allowed to be in the same room as his wife. So it was Rava had come about that, you know, you have to understand that it's talking about two completely different cases. Says Rav Ashi, you're completely wrong about your entire take on the issue. This has nothing to do with the general dinim of avelut. What, do you really think that avelut in general means that a man and woman are supposed to sleep in a different room and now you're going to make a difference between her avelut or his avelut and he might get turned on so he's got to sleep in? No, please. We're talking about a unique case over here. Mika midamita avelut d'achal avelut d'yama. This is not normal avelut. Obviously, normally people take avelut very seriously. As a matter of fact, they take it even more seriously. You ask me, oh, avelut, kaddish, oh my God. Like the biggest mitzvah in the world is kaddish. The guy doesn't care about, you know, eating on Yom Kippur, but kaddish he's got to say, God help us, right? So like this new mitzvah of saying kaddish, that already, that's it. And chas v'shalom to miss Yizkor. He'd rather die than miss Yizkor, you know. So people are crazy, fine. So in Achinami, they pay a lot of attention to voodoo issues, much more than they do to the real mitzvahs of the Torah. That's for sure. But this is a special case, because over here, what did we just do? What we just did is we told people, don't keep avelus. We told people, don't bury the mace. We told people the show must go on. You don't think that this has some kind of psychological aspect, that after the show goes on, that then they may treat this avelut as being somewhat different than a normal avelut? I mean, they have normal psychological reactions in which normally you wouldn't say, how could the show go on? I'm devastated. This woman is crying. My mother just died. What are you telling me? The show must go on. Okay, so this is gufa, normal avelut de'alma chomer velo asil zilzulei be. But avelut de'hacha, since the rabbanon were so makel about it, so therefore it's different, and people will actually treat it on both ends. They'll treat it very lightly, and because of that, we need to be more careful. But which aspect are you saying we're treating lightly? I mean, is it just the fact that we say that you're supposed to first be intimate with her and then be parish? I mean, that's not a kula in avelut. That's because avelut does not begin before the funeral. So it's because there was no din of avelut yet. Well, when does the avelut start? I mean, that's an achlukis that we had in Mamayit Katan. According to Rabbi Eliezer, only when they remove the body from the house, and now that's when the beginning of avelut is. According to Rabbi Yeshua, only after the funeral. And you said, Tema Golo, but whatever. I mean, why are we treating it? You're saying we're treating it so kal? How are we treating it so kal if there was no avelut? By the way, this is not so pashut, and I don't want to take up much of your time. Maybe if we finish and we have time, I'll explain in more detail. But the question is over here whether there is an iser of Tashmish Hamita during Aninut. Now, Lamaisa, we paskin that there is. And therefore, what the Gemara seems to be saying is irrelevant, right? Because you're telling me the Avelut didn't start until the Stimata Golel. But in this case, anyway, they were Einanim because they had the Chiev of Kfura of the Mace, and therefore we are being Makel on them being intimate even during this period. So it's very important to note that the relationship to the Isurim of Aninut does not imply, even to people in general, does not imply a kula in the dinim of avelut. People understand that those are two completely different issues. And they recognize the immense differences between the pre-funeral aninut halachas and the post-funeral Avilut halachas, and just because we would be mekel gabe the dinim of aninut, we're over there, we have totally different standards, does not mean that they're going to be mekel. So therefore the Gemara is saying, look, okay, I mean, that may be that it's not in their minds a kula. No, the kula is that we're noig shivis yamei amishta. We say, well, don't worry about the avilut. Just go to Sheva Brachas, pretend everything is fine. The show must go on. Oh, my God. Show must go on for 7 days during the entire period of the Avelut. Obviously, that is going to change the whole sense, the whole emotional response, which normally is immediate, and they'll think that this is not the same. So they would come out to be Mekel, and therefore this case is unique. Now, the last thing, which I don't understand, is that you say in general, you are not allowed to have intercourse for the first time with a bitula, not on Friday night and not on Matzah Shabbos. I mean, I guess the reason that you say not on Friday night is because you're going to be doing an Isser on Shabbos, because you're making a Chabura, and that's called a Chavalah, which is one of the Lamedes Malachas. So you're causing bleeding. But Matzah Shabbos, why not? What exactly is the problem of getting married on Matzah Shabbos? Omer Rabbi Zera Mishum Cheshbonot. Because if Lamaisa were planning a marriage on Matzah Shabbos, I mean, if the guy's going to be sleeping with his wife for the first time on Matzah Shabbos, then that must be when they're planning on getting married, right? But so then that means that all Shabbos long, I'm going to be thinking about, okay, listen, all right, we got to get the drinks. How much am I going to pay that guy for the drinks? The photographer is supposed to be sure I get me an hour earlier, whatever. And he's going to be making cheshbonos all Shabbos long. And you're supposed to be miladaber davar. You're not allowed to speak even about doing things that have to do with these things that you couldn't do on Shabbos and so on. So because of that, we're worried. Amalei Abaye, excuse me, you're allowed to do that on Shabbos if it's for a mitzvah. There's no iser of cheshbonot shal mitzvah. Cheshbonot shal mitzvah mi'asiri. Didn't Rav Chista and Rav Amnuna both say that cheshbonot shal mitzvah mutar l'chashvan b'shabbat? And Rabbi Elazar said you're allowed to set aside and tell an ani, okay, we're giving this amount of money to this ani and so on. You could have a meeting about that. And the whole, the board decides how much money to give out on Shabbos. Yes, they're talking about tzedakah. You can do that on Shabbos. And Rabbi Yaakov quotes Rabbi Yochanan as saying, listen, you can go to Bate Knesset, to Bate Midrashos, in order to be mefakeach. Rashi explains mefakeach is the same word, mefakeach et agal. Be mefakeach means to dig up. And indeed, when we talk about the newspapers, they always dig up dirt. But when Klal Yisrael digs up, they dig up needs that have to be done for mitzvahs. Sort of different way of looking at life. But anyway, but you are digging up hidden requirements where people need help and so on. I love these issues where just the language brings out the difference between Yisrael and Amim so amazingly. Okay, so you're going over there to dig up mitzvahs, so to speak, on Shabbos. And you can do that. And Rabbi Yaakov Bar Ini quotes Rabbi Yochanan, says that you can actually be mefakhin pikuach nefesh b'Shabbat, where anything that would have to do with the rabbim, some have a gear of pikuach rabbim b'Shabbat, not only pikuach nefesh, I mean, that's rather clear, right? But it means things that could end up being affecting the danger to the community or requirements for community survival. You can even go to the tartiyot and the karkiyot, the fakeach al iske rabim. Look, if the government is holding a hearing, you know, and the town hall is being in a movie theater, you know, and they're going to be showing a movie, you can go to the movie theater on Shabbos in order to be part of the town hall meeting. There may well be issues that are going to be impactful on the future of the community. Of course, when they do this in New York, what happens is that all the Jews go out and say, what? You don't care about us. We can't attend on Shabbos. And therefore, we're going to end up being left out. And they make a whole stink about it and it gets to court and so on. But the Gemara says, you can attend such a thing on Shabbat, right? And Mitana Devei Menashe, you can even arrange a shidduch for a tinoket. You have to talk about Okay, how much are you going to give for the wedding and all of those details? And you can have a deal where you have to take a tutor for your child. And the only time you meet the tutor is on Shabbos. So you can be arranging that on Shabbos, Alat Tinok, Lam Dos Sefer, and don't think that it means because of Limud HaTorah. We're talking about getting him into university. And if you have to go to the university office and discuss it on Shabbos, then go. And if you're training him to be a car repairman, then you can talk to the guy and make up how much you're going to pay him on Shabbos. Why? Because that is a mitzvah, as Rashi brings. Re'ei Chaim, of course, it's very big service. Re'ei Chaim imisha asher ahavta refers to becoming a car repairman. You have to make a living somehow. That's Chaim. You want to have the wife that you really love, which is Terah. Well, the Chaim ima isha asher ahavta, you better darn well get yourself an income. So because of that, it's a mitzvah that you should do it on Shabbos. Anyway, what would be wrong about spending your Shabbos planning a holy wedding, holy brothers and sisters, and therefore it should be okay? You're right, says the Gemara. That can't be the problem. The problem must be, Elomer Zera, Zera Shema Yishchot Ben Of. You might get so involved in how many pargiot you're going to need for the wedding, Mitzvah Shabbos, you suddenly forget that Shkia is only at 8:32, not at 8:30. And you're all, oh my God, how am I going to finish? And you'll do the Shkita on Shabbos. So because you're going to get so involved. So therefore we say, you better not do that. What, we're really worried because you're going to get so involved that you'll end up in Michal Shabbos? How about Yom Kippur that comes out on a Monday? So why do we allow it? Maybe we should be mechaving the month that Yom Kippur should never come out on a Monday, and we should make it come out dafka on Tuesday. And because Zera Shemi Yishchot Ben Of, it comes out on Monday, so then maybe you'll prepare for the Seuda for Sunday, you'll prepare on Shabbos, and we should... First of all, what are you comparing a wedding to, a Erev Yom Kippur Seuda, for heaven's sakes? If you're only shechting for yourself and your family, well, you can get all involved, but it's not as if you're making a wedding on Erev Yom Kippur. It's just for you. Lo Toritz, how involved are you going to get? Oy, vavoy, I got to take, vavoy, take care of it. You take care of it a little later. Over here, we're talking about you've got tons of people coming. Not to mention, Inami, you got plenty of time to prepare. You don't have to start eating tonight. But there's no time. The wedding is 10 minutes after Shabbos. When are you going to get everything ready? Well, now that this is the problem, we don't have to come on to the Friday night business if it's being usher, because maybe you will end up making a chabura. We're going to see that it's not so pashut that that's called making a chabura to sleep with a virgin. So we could say that same thing may be true on Erev Shabbos also. Later on, the Gemara is going to ask, why do we need this other answer? And we'll give the explanation. So on Erev Shabbos, we're also, you may get so desperate to have enough stuff ready for the wedding, maybe you'll check that even though it was already a minute after Shkia, and you'll be Shekhet Ben Of, and therefore, the minag, by the way, has become that we do weddings on Erev Shabbos, but we'll talk about this, Bezrat Hashem,